So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Mark chapter 2. And we're going to be reading from verses 13 through 17. Verses 13 through 17. And the Bible says, and he went out, or he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the place of toll, and he saith unto him, follow me. He arose and followed him. And it came to pass that he was sitting at meat in his house, and many publicans and sinners sat down with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And the scribes and the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and publicans, said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Father, bless the reading of your word tonight, and help me to convey what I feel you've placed in my spirit for this body, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Can I help you? And really, we might need to put instead of a question mark, a exclamation. Can I help you? Now, I was telling some folks this earlier today. It is an awesome feeling to rescue someone. I know that we've got a couple of EMTs and maybe some volunteer fire department or something like that. But anybody who's ever being part of the process of rescuing someone from danger, you know the high of that when you realize that, yes, you really helped that person, you saved that person, whatever the case may be. I myself, I was telling them, I've had the opportunity in my lifetime, I have saved four people from drowning. Two different days, two different people, on the same days, or on the different days. One, I was a young 15-year-old, 16-year-old young man. I was down at the creek, and we were swimming, and it had been raining, and the creek was racing, and it was really high, and that, there was a bunch of people here on the bank, but I see this kid go down once, go down twice. It's screaming. It's waving his hand, and I don't see anybody move. And so I dive in, I get the kid, I bring him to shore, and the mother, I'm 14, 15 years old, the mother comes up, kisses me everywhere. I'm like, good Lord. And you saved my baby, you saved my baby. And so I was like, it's okay, good, yeah, all right, get out of my face. And so as I was walking back up to where my family were, where my brothers were, I heard screams again. I turn around, a different kid had gotten caught up in the current. And again, I dive into the creek, I swim over there, and this time, though, I can't just grab them and come back. The river's got me, too, or the creek has me, too. But I get up under them, and I hold my breath for as long as I can and keep them up above me out of water. And when I would run out of breath, I would kick off the bottom, come up and get me another breath, and go back down. And finally hit a sandbank, or a sandbar, and was able to stand up and get them out of there. And again, they were very thankful. Then another time, these two kids, we were down at Hunter Springs, my wife and I. We had our youngest daughter there, Jillian, and it was just us and this other lady and her two kids. And they were out there, and long story short, they got a little bit further out there. Next thing you know, they were drowning, and the mother didn't see them, and in a flash I was out in the water getting those kids, and she was like, oh my god, oh have I got? I want to go put your book down and pay attention to your kids. You know, but anyway, I didn't say that. I thought it. But anyway, so if you've ever had that feeling, you know how awesome it is to rescue those. But as Christians, we are all lifeguards. As Christians, we're lifeguards, and we're seeking and saving the lost is what we're doing. But every lifeguard knows that before you enter, now I'm going to lose some of y'all this first service of 2018, and it's going to be all right. Y'all just pray for me. But before every lifeguard knows, before entering the situation, that you must assess it first. That you've got to know, or at least have a good understanding of what's going to be needed. Because now I tried to look it up today. I couldn't find it. But I've heard that the U.S. Coast Guard is called out on a rescue mission. And when they come on a situation with multiple targets. Now I want you to hear this. When they have multiple targets and limited resources. When they have multiple targets and limited resources. They must assess almost immediately who can they rescue and who they risk not rescuing. The decision is made. Excuse me. See, if I had a Diet Mountain Dew, it'd probably be better. But and please, I know all the dangers of that. Everybody pointed that out to me the other day when I posted it on there and as a joke. So anyway, the decision is made for them, for the Coast Guard, sometimes by the victims themselves. And what do I mean by that? I think it's my next slide, Roger. The decision is made for them by the victims. They save those who move toward them. I'm going to say that again. They save those who move toward them. When there's multiple targets, if there's only one, you might go after them. But when there's multiple targets, then you've got to make a decision. Is when you have multiple targets, limited resources, you've got to make a decision. Who can I save? And usually the people who get saved are those who move toward either the swimmer or the Coast Guard or whomever it may be. Now, I don't know if it's this way in the Coast Guard, if they're taught this or whatever, but because I've been unable to verify it. But for the metaphor is still true regardless, and that sets up tonight's message. Because we're trying to save people. Sometimes we're trying to save people who don't want to be saved. And you're trying to help people who don't want to be helped. I know, it's going to get tight. But a simple subjective question that most of us ask many times a day when we see someone struggling is, may I help you or can I help you? And usually the subject is I. But the question is, can I or will you allow me to help you? Now listen to me. I'm not talking about can I do everything for you. Ooh. Pastor, that's tight this morning, this evening. No. I'm not asking you, can I do everything for you? How many knows that some people will ask you to pray but never pray themselves? They want you to intercede, but they ain't going to pray themselves a bit. Amen? They want you to give them food, but they don't want to quit nothing else they're doing. Come on now. Usually, we have to understand that you have to have the courage and the willingness and the desire to reach out for that help and let people help you. You know, I was talking to Pastor Travis, our children's pastor. He was telling me the other day, he came to me 10 years ago for financial counseling. I couldn't believe it was 10 years ago. And his wife, who grew up in this church, she told him something that I didn't know that was completely public at that time. But she told him, she goes, now listen, I'm telling you. If you go to pastor and you get his advice and you don't take it, he ain't going to meet with you again. You're going to take it. Because if you don't respect my time or somebody else's time, then you don't respect their advice. Amen? So, and he told me, he said, Pastor, what you showed me to do 10 years ago, I'm still doing it every month, blah, 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 blah. So, Pastor, you doing that to give yourself praise? No, I'm just trying to tell you that we've said that when you have limited resources and multiple targets, you got to assess where you can do the most good. You got to assess who you can help and who you can't. Because some people, they don't want a help up, they want a hand out. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. And let me tell you from John Mason says that the best hand up you can ever get is at the end of your own arm. I like that. All right, so point number one is this. You and I need to learn to assess the situation before we engage. How many's ever got into a situation that you didn't know it was going to be all that? Amen. You went to ask somebody, can I help you get that in there? Yeah, and the next thing you know, you're at their house raking leaves. How'd I get on this? What? And everybody in this room who's ever tried to help somebody, how many understands that sometimes it turns into a bigger thing than what you had imagined, and you didn't want to do all that, and blah, 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 and bless God. So you got to assess before you engage. Because I think that if you're truly a Christian, all of us ought to want to help people. We ought to want to rescue them. We ought to want to be the hero in a sense. But is that one you have targeted, the one that you're looking at, the one that you think that you can help, are they swimming away from you or toward you? We began a phrase around here probably about 15 years ago when I'd been burned so many times trying to help people. And we began to say this, and now it's kind of almost like a mantra of ours, is that we refuse to help anybody beyond their own participation. If you're not going to help yourself, then why should I help you, right? Well, because you're a Christian. No, I've got limited resources and multiple targets. You have limited resources and multiple targets. If you try to rescue someone who doesn't want to be helped, it becomes very dangerous very quickly. And some of us, and I won't say us because I'm not right now, I can tell you that right now. But some folks are in trouble right now because you tried to help somebody who didn't want help and it became very dangerous and now you're depressed and they're depressed and you've wasted all your resources and they're still in the same boat and now you're in a worse boat because they didn't want any help. They can drag you down. They can pull you under. If you're not careful, if you try to rescue someone who is actually moving away from you, then they can wear you out. How many's ever been wore out by folks? Come on, somebody. Don't point at them if they hear. And so they can wear you out so that you have no strength to get back to safety. And so you've got to assess before you jump in somewhere. You spent everything you had trying to catch and save someone that didn't even want to be saved. And now you, the rescuer, are in need of rescuing. The potential hero has become the victim. We can't have, or we can't save everyone. We can't save, that's just a fact. That's just the fact. We can't save everyone. You know, this is something Don hates to hear me say it. Don Murrow, we fed, how many people we fed last year? You got those numbers yet? Is it over 18,000? Way over 18,000 people we fed last year. And you know, and now Don and his team, they're incredible. They're the hardest working people you'll ever meet in your life. I mean, they're working 6-7 days a week to feed people. Amen? But let me tell you, see, but if Don, because Don wants to help everybody. Don can't stand not to help everybody. So I'm his anchor. You know, when we bought the new building, Don was like, all this is mine, right? He didn't say that. He thought it. He didn't say it, though. But Pastor, we need more. I was like, listen, we can only do what we can do. And I don't know who I'm talking to. It might be one or two. But I want you to understand that you can only do what you can do. You've only got enough resources to help save those ones that want to be saved. Amen? God will give, listen, to do what God's called you to do, you're going to use all that you have, and you're going to need that all that you have. So if we ignore those who are swimming toward us, wouldn't this be crazy? If we ignored those who are swimming toward us and go after the ones who are swimming away from us, if we go toward those who are swimming away from us, that's the tragedy, and it can be compounded because not everybody is going to be saved. Now, Pastor, I'm not getting the analogy you're talking about. You can put that in any analogy that you want to, whether it be salvation. There are some of you that are trying to cram salvation down people's throat, and they're not ready for salvation because the Holy Spirit hadn't dealt with them enough. And matter of fact, you're doing more harm than you are good because you're trying to thrust it down their throat. I promise you that if you live the life that God has called you to live and you get around them people, they're going to see something in you, and they're going to want to have what it is you have. You ain't got to hit everybody with the biggest Bible you can find. And let me tell you, most folks who are in sin know they're in sin. It's church people, the ones you got to deal with, that don't realize they're in sin. I believe I will. We need to assess the situation before we jump in. Even Jesus couldn't save everyone. Wait a minute. Yeah, you can. Yeah, he could. He could. He didn't. Why? Well, I'm going to get my fist. Let me go on. Mark chapter 2:17. The sinners and the tax collectors moved toward Jesus. The scribes and the Pharisees did not. Let me put it like this. The tax collectors, those that didn't know, wasn't what we would call saved, they moved toward Jesus, and the church did not. They just stood back and criticized what Jesus was doing. Look at him over there eating with all the tax collectors. He's over there eating with all the sinners. Well, who needs Jesus? You know what? Listen, so I do this purposely. When I go on a ride with the guys, the Riders of the Fog, you know, I don't just hang out with just my friends. On purpose, I sit with people who I think don't like me. And it's not that they don't like me. They don't know my deal yet. You know, what's your deal yet? Hey, and what is, I'll tell you, some of the fruit of that is this man right here. Amen. The first time we ever, I don't know if you remember. I don't even know if you did like me then. I don't know if you did. You wasn't sure, was you? He said, I wasn't real sure. He's still not sure now that he got to know me. But I sat beside him on purpose. Why? Because I wanted him to know that, yeah, I'm a pastor, but I'm just a dude. I'm just a guy. The problem with so many of us is we put on what my mama would call what my mother would call, we put on airs. We try to be something that we're not. See, so if I am who I am in the pulpit and I am who I am out in the world, then I don't have to worry about who I was when you saw me, because I am what I am, or I is what I is. Come on, somebody. Amen. I am what I am. And when you live your life that way, I don't think about, well, I'm around church people now, and I've got to be like this, and now I'm around unsaved people, and I've got to be like this, and blah, 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 blah. No, this is who I am. Because, listen, being fake is exhausting. Just be real. Just be real. Point number two, Jesus loved everyone, but he did not pursue. Not commit himself to everyone.
Well, wait a minute, Pastor. He went after the one that was, he left the 99 and went after the one lost.
Not the one running. Not the one going away, the one that was lost. Oh, my Lord, that's some good stuff right there. John chapter 2, verse 23 says this. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs that he was performing and believed in his name. And Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. John 2:24, Jesus did not commit himself to them. But wait a minute, Pastor. What about love? Well, what about it? Man, I love getting on these pastors. All they talk about is love. Just love. And now let me just tell you what. You know, some of these guys who all you talk about is love and you make it sound sissy, you ain't going to win men. I mean, if you're talking about, oh, come on, let's come on over here, let's love Jesus. Dude, you better stay away from me. I don't roll that way. You ever been around Christians that kind of make you feel like, dude, what's wrong with you? I just thought about that one, you know. Pray for me, Sister Caps. Ooh, I want to tell it. I want to tell it. I want to tell it. But, Pastor, what about love? What about leaving the 99 and seeking the one? Well, the one was lost. Not running away. Not wanting help. It was lost. Now, hear me. Some people don't know they're lost. But usually when you tell them and they realize they're lost, they want help. But some folks are lost and don't want no help. So you got to assess when you have multiple targets. All right? Let me go one step further. Love makes room for everyone. Certainly we are moved to action. I want you to hear this. Well, you're getting ahead of me here. Certainly we're moved to action by love. But listen, but look at this. Love empowers us, but wisdom guides us. And I don't know why people get saved, like check their brain out sometimes. You got to understand, love empowers us, but it's wisdom that guides us. That's why you got to have a discerning spirit. You ain't got enough time to try to be everybody's savior. You know, this was years ago, back in the old church. Some of y'all will remember this. It had got to the point that I was spending all my Tuesdays from literally 9 in the morning to about 6, 7 o'clock at night counseling people. And I'm not a counselor. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. But I was counseling everybody. And so then I got to the point, I don't know if I got anointed or annoyed. I ain't sure which one it was. But on a Sunday morning, I stood up and I go, I want all the elders to stand up. You remember that day? I said, I want all the elders to stand up because I want y'all to hear it before the rest of the congregation hears it. I said, I've been spending all of my Tuesdays all day long counseling people, but I'm changing my counseling schedule. It begins on, I'll have a session of counseling at 8:30 on Sunday morning. I was another counseling session at 11 o'clock on Sunday. We had services at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. I said, there's another session at 6 o'clock on Sunday night and another counseling session at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. If you can make 2 out of the 4 consistently for 3-4 weeks, then I'll give you another hour of my time on Tuesday, because what most people are wanting counseling for, they need Calvary for. Because some people, you cannot counsel a sin problem. You must repent from a sin problem, and counseling does other things. Are you listening to me? So we've got to come to understand that if you will let people, they will wear you out. Love empowers us, but wisdom guides us. Wisdom is the steering mechanism, and love is the engine. Why do we do what we do? Love. Before God, I wish I didn't love people as much as I do. Some of y'all are like, ooh, boy. We praying God to help you love some folks. No, I do. My mama used to say this, oh, you make me so mad I could just pinch your head off. Anybody other mamas ever say that? Just pinch your head off. And what that meant is, I know you can do better, but you got me so aggravated, I just want to pinch your head off. And that's the way I get with people. Man, I love to see people grow. I want to see people do good. I want to see people advance. I want to see people come up out of the mire and out of the clay and put their feet on the rock to stay. I want them to see, to worship God and glorify God. I want them to know the word of God and can declare the goodness of God. That's what I really want. And I love people, and I hate it when I don't see that happening in them. But it's even more frustrating when you look at them and they're not doing the things that they know to do in order to get that. Y'all ain't going to shout me down today. It ain't a shouting message. I know that. We cannot discard wisdom. God doesn't. Jesus didn't. Paul didn't. And you and I should not discard wisdom. The parables of the lost coin. Remember in Luke 15? The lost coin? The lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. But the parable is teaching value. And everyone is valuable, and none of us are to be devalued because of our heritage, because of our history, or any other thing. We're valuable because Jesus died for us. Love makes room for everybody. But not sloppy agape. Greasy grace. You know, well, Jesus loves me too much to send me to hell. You sent yourself to hell. I'm like the old black preacher in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. Friend, I tell you this because I love you. I don't want you to wake up backstroking in the lake of fire. Check this out. Give me my next one, Broderick. Heaven's rescue plan. His rescue program saves those who move toward it. That's the key. I can preach till I'm black in the face, blue in the face, yellow in the face, brown in the face, till white face, purple face. I can preach all day long. But if people don't move toward God, then all that I've done is in vain. God's rescue program is to save those who move toward Him. Here's what James 4:8 says. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now, that word draw is a reflexive word. Good gracious. I'm working too hard or something. Draw is a reflexive word. And what it means, like the swimmer in trouble who suddenly sees the Coast Guard, and they instantly begin to move toward the help. That's a reflex action. Draw. His action is rewarded with another reflexive action. He is moved toward help and he gets saved. That's reflexive. And so that's what happens sometimes around here on Sundays and Wednesdays when people come to the altar or people raise their hands for salvation. They hear the word and they react and reflex, or they react to the word. And they give their heart to Christ, whatever the case may be. You and I need to understand that. Who is moving toward your support? Who's moving toward your support? And then who are you moving toward for support? Who's swimming toward your help? You know, how many's ever got offended because nobody wanted your help? I have. Well, if y'all don't want my help, I'll just leave. Where was we at? We was doing something. I don't know. It's been a few years ago. I told y'all I'm not a builder. You know, if you want something square, it ain't me. I mean, I can hammer stuff, but I'm really good. My mode, my expertise is demo. I like tearing it up. And so we were doing a remodel. I don't know where, but we were remodeling something. And man, I was in there, and we were tearing that stuff out. And then we got it done. And one of the guys looked at me, and they go, "Okay, Pastor." I said, "What?" I said, you go pray and prepare a sermon. Get out of our way." Amen. That's basically what they were saying. It offended me. No, it really didn't, because I knew. I laughed. I go, y'all don't want me to help? They go, well, you can hold a hammer. I can swing this bad boy too. Y'all watch, I swing it right here, boom. Psalms 145:18 says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Abraham moved toward God. Moses moved toward God. 1 Chronicles 28:9. If you seek him, he will let you find him. I like the New American Standard. It says, if you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Allow me, if you will, to just paraphrase most of the Old Testament. It is this. Israel got in trouble. They swam away from God. And God couldn't save them because they swam away from him. They would have enough of it or bellyache, and they would return to God, and God would save them. He would swim. They would swim toward God, and God would swim, in essence, swim toward them and rescue them and set their feet on solid ground. Malachi 3:7 says, from the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Now there's a man has a huge church. Didn't start out that way. His name is Pastor Willie George in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's one of America's leading ministers and leading leaders, as a matter of fact. One of the largest churches. He's a fountain of wisdom. But I want to share his story. He shared a story of his beginning in ministry. He was the captain of a church bus. His job was to rescue kids from the projects by getting them to ride the bus to church. He said some of them kids were always ready. Before the bus showed up, they were there, dressed, waiting, and excited for church. But other kids were not so eager. They were never waiting on the bus. Willie would have to make the bus wait on them as he begged the parents to wake them up and from their sleep, and then continue to beg to get them dressed and hoping the kids would drag onto the bus. Eventually, the enthusiasm of the kids who had been excited began to fade away. Even Willie began to feel drained of energy and excitement. The numbers fell off and the bus became nearly empty. And Willie prayed. The Lord told him he had been ignoring those who wanted help, but seeking those who saw no value in what he was offering. Man, I don't know who I'm talking to. Maybe me, I don't know. But man, we've got to get this in our spirit, church. They saw no value in what he was offering. The Lord instructed him to focus on who was on the bus and stop chasing those who were not on the bus. So he poured his enthusiasm into those few who still were dressed and ready when the bus arrived. The bus still stopped and the door still opened. That's the key. The door still stopped. The bus still stopped. The door still opened. But if the kids weren't moving toward the help of the bus, then the bus moved on. And soon the numbers grew, the enthusiasm grew, and many were saved. Over and over and over and over again, our Master, Jesus Christ, comes. He moves towards us. And he asks us to move toward him. What did he say in Matthew 11:28? Come to me, ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. But how do I do that? Not sitting over in a corner sulking, not running from God. How do I find that rest? By coming to God. How do I find that rest? I've got to come to Him. I'm so tired of people wanting God and the church and the pastor and everybody else to chase them down. No, if you want help, come to God. He said, I am the author and the finisher of your faith. He said, if we come to Him, that He would receive us. And that's what we need to do, the church. So in 2018, I'm not going to worry about folks who don't want my help. Point number three is this. We are instructed to compel them to come, but they are the ones who must come. Compel doesn't mean grab them in a headlock. You know, my wife's 4'11", or 4'10 and a half. And I'm pretty sure when she's sick, I could take her. But what would it mean if I put her in a headlock and told her, you better love me? She might say it, but she wouldn't mean it, especially at that moment. When it says compel them to come in, it means give them, show them something. Let them see something better than where they are. Better than where they are. Well, Pastor, we ain't got much to choose. We don't got much to compare to the world. Yes, we do. Oh, my goodness. Yes, we do. Listen, the world is looking for authenticity of the gospel. What they don't want is religion. What they don't want is hypocrisy. But they're looking for, they're hollering and screaming for authenticity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. I know we can't save everyone. And matter of fact, we can't save anyone. I want you to get that. We can't save anyone. Not only can we not save everyone, we can't save anyone. Because in truth, they must save themselves by moving toward the support of His salvation. Move toward our support, but His salvation. Does that make sense to you? What do you mean? You know what? Y'all just pray for me if I'm off here. I hope you pray for me anyway. But anyway. I've had people come into our church, and there was one particular family, and they said, well, we ain't made a friend here in 3 years. And that just hurts my heart. It really does. Because I know how many people that are here. I know how many people who love people. And then I look at Gypsy. I mean, come on. Come here, Gypsy. Come on. I don't mean to embarrass you, but come on, stand up here with me, man. And I don't really want to hold your hand like that. I knew it would make you feel uncomfortable. I mean, but look at it. If you're going to make a friend, this ain't the guy you're going to be looking for. I mean, he looks like an axe murderer. Look, I mean, I'm not being ugly. All tatted up, you know, and this is his dress clothes. No, he wears suits now. And he came one day, I thought he was the Undertaker. We were having a funeral. I thought he got out of the car and I thought he was the Undertaker. I went, dang. And he got out, oh, okay. But no, but what I'm saying, here's what I'm saying. Look at Gypsy. Now you would think, well, man, you know. And I remember the way he looked when he first came. And not his clothes, but his face. The beady little eyes. That's the truth right there. But now he's got more friends than he can check a stick at. Everybody loves Gypsy. Why? Because he's put himself out there. Because he came toward the help. He came toward the support of those that wanted to help him. And we're so proud of him. And now, my God, he leads a men's group on our focus group. Come on, give God praise and Gypsy a hand. Hey, you heard what he said? He said, that's God. That's God. And it is. But you don't tell me, well, Pastor, I just can't find no help. I can't find no friend. If you look like Gypsy and can find a friend. I got something left, too. But what I'm trying to say, I hope you get what I'm trying to say. If you're offended by what I'm trying to say, then there ain't no help for you anyway. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. You, come on. If you want friends, you got to be friendly. Listen, sometimes your help, your support of a church of over 700 people, your support can't just be me. It can't be just our staff. I mean, I'm telling you, and I'm not just saying this, but I believe that we've got a dream team. Other than the senior pastor, our support staff is incredible. They're great people. However, but there's still not enough of us. There's not enough of them. There's not enough for us to be your complete support system. That's why you've got a church of so big that, man, you've got to come and get support. But you got to come to Him. You got to come. We can't chase you down. You know, oh, help me, Lord. Luke 14:23 says, and the master said to the slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that there may be, so that my house may be filled. Those who would not come were bypassed. Those who were not come were bypassed. I'm not talking about you just walk by them and are ugly. But I'm talking about if people don't want your help, they just might not be at a place right now. Just stay handy. Just stay handy. Not everyone recognizes their need and therefore miss their opportunity. Not everybody recognizes their need. Some folks don't even recognize that they need God. They don't recognize they need help. They don't recognize they need support. Revelation 3:1, and I'm winding down. Write this letter to the angel of the church of Sardis. I know all the things you do and that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Revelation 3:17, the New Living Translation says, you say I am rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 19, so be diligent and turn from your indifference. Verse 20, look, and I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. All right, now I'm going to say this. And anytime I go down this trail that I'm about to, I'm always nervous because people will take it the wrong way. So, Father, I just ask you right now for your Holy Spirit to take down all the blinders and the shields of the hypocrisy and any religiosity, and let us receive what in the manner and in the spirit in which I'm trying to say it. You need to walk away from those who move away. Well, that's what I did, Pastor. Me and my husband. That is not what I'm talking about. Learn to say no to those who drain you and refuse to change. I'm setting some folks free tonight. Learn to say no to those who want your money, your time, your life force, but not your wisdom. Learn to say no to those who want you to pay the price for their bad decisions. Well, that's tight right there, isn't it? No might make them angry, but it'll make you free. If no one has ever told you, your freedom is more important than their anger. But Pastor, they're my child. Sometimes you got to tell them no. Not everyone recognizes it. In closing, I know that in a church our size, certainly now that we're on, you know, live stream, I don't know if y'all recognize it or not, but we have several people who come to church, but they live too far away to drive to church. And so they call this their church. I've tried to get them to go to other churches and be a part of that church, but they whatever. So they watch every service. We got folks in Virginia, West Virginia. Got folks all around the world that watch every service. Some of them have contacted us. And there are some people who think that I don't care. And because I don't care, we had to hire Pastor Roger, who's our care pastor. And just to let you know, I've asked him a few things. He said, I don't care. But it's not that I don't care. It's not that I don't care. They think I don't care because I refuse to pursue people who run away. And don't get me wrong. And I always will. I've went into a bar and got a guy out. This past General Assembly, what was that, 2 years ago in Nashville? I told my wife, I said, well, I came to General Assembly. The church sent me here. And I'm fixing to go somewhere, but I'm letting you know. So if anything said, she said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the bars. She said, what? I said, I heard a friend of mine, and I called the name, so that it won't embarrass him. I said, he's got a call of God on his life, and he sings the gospel. He's preached, but he's down here in Nashville playing at the bars where we're staying. And there was about, I don't know, 1,600 bars there. I don't know what that many, but it was a lot. I said, so I'm going down to look for him until I find him. And boy, you want to talk about uncomfortable. It's been years since I've been in a bar. And then when I finally did go in one, I almost got into a bar fight. That's why I usually don't go into bars. I'm not joking. And you know what? I was trying to help the guy. He dropped his license as he was walking. And so I said, hey, bro, I think you dropped this. Snatched his license out. Cussed me out. I said, I don't give a rip what you do. So I walked anyway. So then the guy that I'm with, that I finally found the guy, he comes over to the table. I'm going to buy you a drink. I go, no, you're not. Yeah, I am. I'm going to buy you. You ain't buying me a drink. I don't drink. I'm going to buy you a drink or whoop you. I said, you ain't going to do either one. Because God going to give me the strength of Samson. I'm going to beat your behind. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear you limb from limb, Jack. No. And then the guy said, Pastor, he's drunk. I go, dude, I'm familiar with drunk. I know. I didn't think he was sober. But anyway, when I was looking for him, he saw me. He said, Bishop. I said, hey, man. What are you doing? I said, I'm down here looking for you. Talk with him. You know, what I want to do is grab him by the nape of the neck, drag him out of that bar, bring him back down to Florida, throw him into the church. But all I could do was just tell him, hey, man, you know the gifts and call of God is without repentance. You got a call on your life. You know you do. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's there. But because I don't pursue everyone, because I don't chase them, because I don't beg people to come to church, I refuse to be traumatized by their dramatization. I refuse to let their drama cause me trauma. I've learned I can't help everybody. Because not everybody wants help. My last slide, I think I have. If I can help, I will. But if I can't because you won't, I try not to sweat it. And that's tough. Because as a pastor, you may not realize it or not, and because, you know, the way that I preach, the way that I talk, whatever. But there are many nights that many of you keep me awake at night. Your situation. Wake up earlier than I want to. I figure if God wanted me to see the sunset, he'd put it, or the sunrise, he'd put it about 7:30, 8 o'clock. Sometimes I'm waking at 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning because of situations. But I just feel like I need to tell you that don't waste all your resources, all your time on those who don't want your help. So let me ask you one final question. Can I help you? Can I help you to the point that you want help? And it's not me, it's the Lord. You need to understand that. Bless the Lord. Won't you stand to your feet tonight? Hallelujah, Jesus. On this first service of 2018, I want you to ask yourself the question, God, am I running away? Am I swimming away or am I swimming toward? And then after you answer that question, then begin to take inventory of the people in your life, the people that you're trying to help. Are they running toward or running away? Because you've only got a limited amount of resources, but multiple targets. You know, as a church, we try to reassess on a yearly basis the things that we do, and don't just do them because that's what we do. But is there a better use of resources? Is there a better way to do this? What are the rewards? Are we reaching enough people? Blah, blah, blah. We try to reassess that. Why? Because let me tell you something. The seats that are empty tonight, I want them full, not so that we can say, look at us, because I know that that every seat that's full with a child of God is one more that's not going to hell. That's why we do what we do. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.